Well, I'd like to turn with you to Mark and chapter 7. And what we have here is a little study on Jesus reaching out to the Gentiles. And really, Todd's presentation is such an example of that, of course. And how he has been led by the Lord with his dear wife to be there in New Zealand and reach out to the islands. And it's just what Jesus did. It's just what Jesus is. And it's neat to see the model of him reaching out to a Gentile lady and her daughter here in this story in Mark chapter 7, and starting at verse 24. We left off at Mark 7:24 last week, and we're going to look at verses 24 through 30. And this is one of the big events in the life of Jesus to show us that we're accepted in the glorious kingdom. And just like all of those in the different islands where Todd has been sent, that Jesus Christ decided to send Todd and Donna there to do what he did here, and just living in his footsteps. And so it says, from thence, and this was in the area of the Galilee, he arose, and he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Now he went way north from the Sea of Galilee to the city of Tyre, and it mentions Sidon. Tyre and Sidon are like twin sister cities. They're 20 miles apart along the coast of what is today Lebanon. And Jesus went way up there. And he would have no man know where he was. He might have wanted to get some rest or just whatever his reasons were, to contemplate, to pray, to be with the Father. But he knew. He knew everything. He knew what was coming. And so it says, and a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And now this lady is not Jewish, and she isn't one of the chosen people, if you will. She was a Gentile. She had a different nation and a different religion. And it says here, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She had just heard of him and heard of his miracles. And she came from a different nation, a different religion. Now, the different country was actually, she was Phoenician. Now, the Phoenicians actually were the greatest navy in the world before the navy of Rome. And Rome actually defeated the Phoenicians in a naval battle in the Mediterranean Sea and took over the world after that. But the ancient Phoenicians were quite a people, and they were all into false gods completely. Now, in that time, part of Phoenicia was in the province of Syria, and so that's why she's called a Syrophoenician by nation, because she was in the area of Syria, and but she was Phoenician. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now we're told in the book of Matthew, where this story is also related, Matthew 5:22, that she was a descendant of the Canaanites. Now the Canaanites are the peoples that were to be driven out of the promised land because they had become so decadent in their religion. They would actually put little newborn babies dead inside of jars and put the jars in the foundations of their houses between the walls to drive away what they called evil spirits. And so it was like an abortion type thing where they would take little infants and kill them. And this was part of their religion. And so this is a really demonic type area, demonic type people with demonic type traditions, her being a Canaanite and a Syrophoenician. Now, she approached the Lord and asked him to cast a demon out of her daughter. Of course she's going to have demon possession in her household or in her friendships because of the false religion and so forth. And so that was the request. Now Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now what he was saying here is simply, I've come for the Jewish people, and I've come to minister to them, the chosen people. And you are a Gentile. And actually, Gentiles were known in many Jewish circles in those days as dogs. In fact, in the New Testament, in Galatians, Paul talks about the concision and dogs, which would be the Jews and the Gentiles. And so this was kind of a refusal in a way. But you know, if we look at the whole story, actually in Matthew 15 and verses 21 through 28, we really get a bigger picture of the whole scene. So let's turn there to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Now this adds more to the exchange that was between Jesus and this woman. And it shows us something here that is very tender-hearted and beautiful that Jesus is doing with this Gentile, this non-Jewish person, actually showing the disciples and showing us even tonight the power of what he wants to do and what he has done through Todd and Donna in reaching out to these peoples in the farthest reaches of the earth, just going and finding everyone. And, you know, as Todd was saying, he had a meeting in his house with a bunch of kids that were, how did you put it, Todd?
Pretty rough
kids, rough kids, like hide your silverware is the way he put it. You know? And so this is the kind of thing that we see here with this woman, with a different nation, a different religion. But let's read about this now. Let's look at verse 21 of Matthew 15. It says, then Jesus went from there and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. And there we see that this is a woman from Canaan, or the Canaanite, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. She would not stop. Jesus just ignored her at first. He just shined her. But she would not stop seeking him. And you know, I think of that verse in the Old Testament. It says, when you shall seek me with your whole heart, with all of your heart, then you will surely find me. And Jesus is developing that in this woman. She just kept after his disciples. Let him listen to me here. And the disciples got so sick of it, they said, send her away, Lord. Tell her just to go away. She cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, letting her know he was called to Israel. And she's Syrophoenician. She's a Canaanite. Then she worshiped him. Boy, she just started worshiping the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me, I know you can. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. You know, and that's the one that Mark uses and lets us know that was said. So this is further on in the conversation when he says this. And you think that would probably discourage anybody, don't you think? It's not good for me to take the bread that's intended for the children of Israel, and give it to the dogs, to the Gentiles. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What an answer. And you know, this is a very precious answer and a very good answer, because the word that Jesus used for dogs is little puppy dogs. The dogs that were pets in the households. And so a hint there that the Gentiles are intended to be in the household of God, because he's referring to them as puppy dogs, as the dogs that actually are under the table in a home. There's another word in the original language that's for dogs, and it means a vicious, ugly, scroungy mutt that goes around in packs with other dogs, like a pack of wolves. And they're very dangerous. They were very dangerous animals. But he doesn't use that word when he says dogs. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, the little puppy dogs, the pet dogs in the house. And so she picked right up on that. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the little puppy dogs in the household, they eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus could not restrain himself any longer. And he said this to her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And so what we sense in this and what we see in this story is Jesus was drawing her out. And he was drawing her out to make a point. He was drawing her to a place of just seeking him with her whole heart, not taking no for an answer. This is what a real prayer is. It's a passionate prayer. When James tells us about praying in his book, he talks about the earnest, effectual prayer of a righteous man. It's earnest. It's the deepest kind of prayer, and it's effectual with the Lord. And God will hear prayers like that. God is not into mamby-pamby prayers, let's put it that way. And so this dear girl was just seeking him with all of her heart. And he said, "Oh, woman, great, great is your faith." And that's in the Bible. And we're reading it here all these years later, 2,000 years later. This is a woman of great faith. So this is something to do. This is something to do. This is something to be about. It's to seek him earnestly and effectually in prayer. Coming after the Lord with both barrels. Getting a hold of the horns of the altar. And just saying, "Jesus, I need an answer. I need an answer, Lord." I remember when we got this building, it was a big step. It was more money we can afford. I think that the Lord always arranges it that way, so it has to be him. But I was really disturbed on whether or not it was God's will that we get this building. And I was out in the desert with my wife, and we took a 2-mile hike to a hill out near an old abandoned mine shaft. And there was a little hill right in front of us at the end of our hike. And I just asked Sherry to stay at the bottom of the hill. I'm going up to talk to God, you know. And I went up there, and man, with every ounce of passion in my soul, I said, "Lord, God, I need to know if this is you or if it's not you. We don't want to step into something that's not you, but we want to always and only just do your will. Oh God, in Jesus' name." And I was a lot more passionate than that, actually. I can get pretty passionate. But you know, it was just a prayer from the guts. And then on my way down the hill back to Sherry, there in the pathway was a white stone. And I knew exactly what that was. That was a yes. You go get that building. Because in the Bible, there's the Urim and the Thummim, the white stone in the breastplate of the high priest means yes from the Lord. And the black stone in the breast of the high priest means no, an answer of no. And so there's this white yes stone. And I knew it was God's will. And so we went forward with this, and it turned out to really be him. It's been 21 years now that we've been here. or more. No, 24, 25. Time gets by when you're having fun. I think it's been 24 or 25 years now. It was 1991. How many years is that? <laughs> 24 years. Yep. And so we know that's a yes. And I still have that stone. Still have that stone. But you know, God just really wants us to seek Him with all of our hearts. He wants us to be thankful in our prayers, because that displays faith. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And He says, and make your prayers, your humble, earnest requests before the Lord with thanksgiving. So we begin to thank Him even in advance for the answer, because we have such a passion and positive feeling in our hearts that He's going to answer, because we know if we seek Him with our whole heart, He will answer us. He will. And He'll do and bring that which is right in His eyes and His sight. It is awesome. So I wanted to show you, let's go back now to Mark. Let's go back to Mark and just finish this story in Mark. Mark 7. And so we left off at verse 28. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, For this saying, go on your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. So the daughter in complete rest and complete healing. And this is awesome. Now with that, I'd like to turn with you to one more scripture. And that's Luke 18 and the first 8 verses. Luke chapter 18 and the first 8 verses. And here the Lord really speaks a story or a parable about how it is that we should be after Him, just like this Syrophoenician woman. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men should always pray and not faint. We don't want to end up fainting with any given situation or problem. We want to just pray about it and pray with faith. And pray believing, pray with passion, fervently, and seek Him like this dear woman did. And he said this, he said, There was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, this is a total non-believing judge, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me in her constant complaining and coming to him, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then the Lord said this about that. He said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Though it seem like a long time, it's really a quick answer in God's timing and His perfect way. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? And oh, brothers and sisters, don't we want Him to find faith here at Calvary Chapel Anaheim? Don't we want Him to find faith in our lives, in the seeking and the pursuing of Him with a passion and a purpose in our minds to just keep coming? Never let anyone tell you, you've already prayed, just forget it. No, let's pray again. Let's go after the Lord. Let's look to Him and just trust Him to just work it out until it works out. It's a beautiful thing. You know, this air conditioning story is like that. We were told that we had to get the roof fixed before we could get a new air conditioner, that the cost of hiring a crane to take the air conditioner off the roof and so forth and fix the roof and put a new air conditioner up there would be between $50,000 and $100,000. And I'm thinking, Lord, I guess we're going to be in the fan business for a long time. And this last week, the brother that's been working on our air conditioning units for 20 years, he installed a lot of them that do the rooms all around the big one up to do the sanctuary. And he says, you know what? I can get a new compressor. It's in stock and a coupling to fit it and have it done within weeks. And it'll cost you $8,000. That's a far cry from $100,000, brothers and sisters. And we have that in the bank. Glory to God. So, but that was after begging God in prayer for a long time. We've been begging God and asking Him for His solution. And His solution always works, doesn't it? It always works. He just wants us to come after Him. He just wants us to display our trust in our Father. Our Heavenly Father can take care of anything. And so I have been just thrilled. You know, these fans are okay with me, but, you know, not for the long run. Let's get some air in here. You know what I'm saying? And so God has answered that prayer, and I wanted to share that with you. It's so good. You know, I had an experience with this, and I'll end with this experience that I had years ago that really kind of solidified this whole idea in my mind that the Lord wants to get through to us and keep in us, about the example of this wonderful Syrophoenician woman who we'll see in heaven for sure. And that is this, is that if we seek Him hard and long, sometimes it seems long to us, not to Him, but long to us, but just keep praying about it. Just keep it in prayer. Don't give up. And that faith will be there. I got sick once, really sick, and I remember I was upstairs in the bedroom, and one of the girls from our Bible study came over and said, "Where's Mark?" And so he's up in bed, he's sick. "Oh, let's pray for him." And as they were praying for me, you know, I wasn't real interested in getting well. You know, I just didn't care about their prayer that much. You know, it was just kind of a nonchalant type thing. But then after I'd thrown up 7 times, I was getting kind of like, I'm getting serious about this prayer now. And I got a hold of that altar. I said, "Oh, Jesus, I need to hold something down. Nothing would stay down, you know." And I just prayed my guts out. And then I went down and got a glass of iced tea, tall as I could get it, with ice in it and everything, and just gulped it down. And the Lord kept it down. He heard that final prayer, and it was a real big lesson for me. When you are desperate, when you are passionate, God's going to hear you, because He's got your whole heart. And that's where this lady was, and that's what Jesus was doing with her. He was drawing her out by first ignoring her and then saying, "Should I really do this?" Oh, and she thought of good reason why we should. "Just let a crumb fall my way, Lord. I know You can do it." Oh, woman, great is your faith. And great has been our brother's faith, and your wife, brother. She's special, like you were saying. I know she, you know, last time we saw you guys, she was really kind of wanting to come home. But man, did she ever take off. Wow. You know, he was showing her what his wife is doing in New Zealand now. And it's just incredible. It's incredible what God's doing. It's awesome. So, Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You're doing with Todd and Donna. We're so blessed to know them, blessed to be a part of what they're doing. Lord, keep doing it, Lord. Keep just giving them those visions to go get. And we thank You, Lord. And please do that with us also, Lord, because we have our own call right here. And Lord, we just pray that You would just lead us and guide us and fire us up, Lord. We thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and just continue to lead you. and guide you and fill you up and use you real good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.